This is KVNF Regional News for Monday, August 4th. I'm Patricia Naft. The federal government and municipal water providers in four western states have reached an agreement to fund Colorado River conservation projects. KVNF's Laura Pomisano has more.
The $11 million deal was announced Thursday. Municipal water providers in Arizona, California, Nevada, and Colorado, and the Bureau of Reclamation have agreed to fund projects to conserve Colorado River water. Denver Water CEO Jim Lockhead says Denver is one of the four municipalities participating in the program. He says half of Denver's water supply comes from the Colorado River.
This pool of money is really designed to try and fund pilot programs that would test different ideas, whether it is agricultural water use or industrial use or municipal use. Anything should be eligible for funding to demonstrate how we can reduce our demands when we're in a drought.
The Colorado River Basin provides water to 40 million people in seven states and Mexico. A recent study from NASA and the University of California, Irvine shows the basin is drying up faster than was thought. Scientists use satellite data gathered over a nine-year period to track the changes in the mass of the basin that has been experiencing drought since 2000. They found during the nine-year period, the basin lost nearly 53 million acre-feet of water. That's nearly double the volume of Lake Mead, the nation's largest reservoir. Jay Famlietti, a senior water scientist at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory and a professor at the University of California, Irvine, co-authored the study.
The water security of the western United States is really at greater risk than we thought. And the reason for that is that groundwater is being used to bridge that gap between supply and demand. It has been being used that way for some time, but yet we're not really including groundwater in our basin-wide water management plan. So that's something that we need to begin addressing very soon.
The Bureau of Reclamation says all the water conserved under the new program will stay in the river to help boost declining reservoir levels. For KVNF, I'm Laura Pomisano.
Starting last Friday, Colorado residents who are in the country illegally can apply to get a driver's license. The Democratic-controlled state legislature passed the law in 2013. Benta Berkland has more from the state capitol.
Undocumented immigrants must prove that they've lived in Colorado for the last 2 years and have paid state and federal taxes, show an ID from their home country, such as a passport, and sign an affidavit pledging to apply for legal status.
For a whole host of reasons, this is good policy.
Democratic Senator Jesse Ulibarri from Commerce City was the main sponsor of legislation allowing the licenses. They're similar to ones for citizens, but they will have a banner at the top, indicating it's not valid for voting, receiving public benefits, boarding a plane, or entering a federal building.
While we wait for our do-nothing Congress to actually get their act together, there are measures that are good for everyone, that can improve the safety of our roads, can ensure that our neighbors are able to get licensed and insured.
10 other states have similar laws already on the books. State officials estimate about 45,000 applicants in the first year. I'm Benta Berkland at the state capitol.
Suspicions of Steve King's time card abuses have turned into official charges. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
The case against State Senator Steve King continues. After an initial string of conflict of interests in investigating the case, the Colorado Bureau of Investigation eventually handed it off to the 18th Judicial District Attorney, George Brockler.
What CBI was looking for was, look, we need someone who can give an independent review to this, investigate this case, and not really have any connections, politically or otherwise, to Mr. King or the sheriff's office. And they also need to have an office who has the resources to be able to do this.
This week, Brockler's office filed a complaint with the official charges.
There are three felonies and two misdemeanors. The two biggest felonies in terms of classification are embezzlement of public funds and forgery. There's a third felony charge that's a sixth class felony of theft, and it's predicated on an allegation that there was an unlawful taking of between $2,000 and $5,000. There are two misdemeanors. One is a second-class forgery charge. That's a first-class misdemeanor. And then there's a second-class misdemeanor of official misconduct. And, you know, what's important to remember is just because our office says these violations occurred, they're just accusations. Mr. King is still presumed innocent of all the charges until at some point in the future he's proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt, and he may not be.
The judicial process is still in its beginning stages. The next court date is set for August 18th in Mesa County. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Today is the signature deadline for all initiatives that hope to get onto the November ballot. Groups need 86,000 valid signatures. As Benta Berkland reports, voters will potentially decide on some controversial topics.
The most contentious ballot questions are two anti-fracking measures that would allow local communities to ban oil and gas drilling. Supporters say they've already gathered close to 100,000 signatures for each proposal and that they hope to have even more turned in by the 3 p.m. deadline. Rich Coolidge is a spokesman for the Colorado Secretary of State's office. If they qualify for the ballot, he says it could be one of the most expensive ballot campaigns in state history.
You know, we already see, you know, million-dollar issue committees that have formed and some multi-million-dollar issue committees that are supporting and opposing these issues. So Colorado is a bellwether state, and we certainly see a lot of excitement in October, and we'll see that again this year.
Signatures are also being turned in for a proposal to label genetically modified foods and make school board collective bargaining negotiations open to the public. A personhood measure and a proposal to expand gambling at racetracks are already slated for the ballot. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The U.S. Attorney's Office, the ATF, and the Colorado Parks and Wildlife are all involved in a case against two Delta men. They're charged with gun violations and poaching. This is Jeff Dorschner, a spokesman for the U.S. Attorney's Office.
Federal grand jury in Grand Junction indicted two gentlemen, Brandon Cook and Jonathan Boyd. Jonathan Boyd is accused of buying the firearm for Brandon Cook. Boyd knew that Cook was a felon and purchased the firearm for him anyway. That is a violation of federal law. The gun was given to Cook. Cook is a convicted felon, and just possessing a firearm, that is a violation of federal law.
The investigation was initiated by Parks and Wildlife.
It was becoming evident that there was a substantial amount of poaching in the area. Wildlife investigators then investigating the poaching came across Cook, who had possessed the firearm, and charged him in state court with poaching.
Dorschner says they'll have the opportunity to make a plea today. Stay tuned for Go Betty and the Monday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.